It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown. 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 Genius does what it must. It is master of man. Power absolute.
Absolute power. And this movie was absolutely meh. Meh. Meh.
Absolute zero. It's not on the good scale. It's not on the bad scale. It's just there.
It's just
there. And you know what's worse than a really good movie or a really bad movie is a really neutral movie.
And this is definitely one very neutral movie. And this is the B-Movie Breakdown. It's a weekly podcast where we find the humor and enjoyment in lower budget and lesser known films of the past and present. Home of the good, the bad, and the what the fuck, or in this case, the meh. Each week's movie will be revealed in the prior episode, so you too can join in on the madness. You can listen to us if you subscribe on iTunes, download an MP3 on our website, bnbpodcast.com, or we are available on Stitcher. So if you have the Stitcher app, you can listen to us on there. You can reach us on our site, our email, bnbpodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter, @bnbpodcast, or on our Facebook page, facebook.com/BMB podcast.
Well, who does backslashes anymore?
You know who does backslashes? The guy who wrote our theme song, Jonathan Mann. You can find him at jonathanmann.net. Man with two N's. Also, YouTube Song a Day Man. He does a song a day and has been for a very, very long time.
So where's the backslash come in?
I don't know.
Oh. Thanks for lying, Corey.
I had to lie for some reason.
Okay.
I couldn't think of a reason, so I just said for some reason. You know, backslash, was that ever a thing?
Yeah. I can't.
In writing code?
No, they used to do it for certain websites, if I remember right. I can't offhand remember a specific web address, but I used to remember hearing, you know, backslash, blah, blah, blah. Like,
yeah, I guess. Maybe it is. Maybe they are backslashes.
That was back in the days of, like, AOL discs and, you know.
Maybe forward slash isn't the thing. Maybe backslash is the real deal. That's where it's at, man. We got to start using backslashes. I'm all about the back door. I don't like going through the front.
Yeah.
Well, our movie this week. Oh, we should do introductions. I'm Corey.
I'm DRC.
B-Movie Breakdown this week is episode number 9, and this is Swamp Thing. From what I remember watching this, I think I remember the sequel to this movie more. The Return of Swamp Thing with Heather Locklear in it. It was a lot more campy and a lot more jokey. I don't know if it had anything to do with the TV series, but there was a live-action TV series and a cartoon series, which I had action figures from the cartoon series.
I forgot about the cartoon.
Yeah, I had like a glow-in-the-dark Swamp Thing and a Swamp Thing that looked kind of like a tree. And
I remember my family didn't get cable till around Christmas time of 1990, like a week or so before. But I remember just like all the new channels, and that was the thing at the time, like USA, all rerun channel except for Swamp Thing. We have one show that's ours, and it's Swamp Thing. And I was like, why would I care, even at 10 years old, about why would I care about a guy made out of weeds and mud and shit?
Well, the cartoon was sweet, but if it's on Hulu and you go back and watch it, it doesn't hold up so well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like this movie, I feel
like. Well, there are plenty of, like, you know, tie-in cartoons from, like, the late 80s and 90s that were awful. Like, the
Police Academy.
The Backstreet Boys cartoon.
Yeah, New Kids on the Block.
Hammer.
No, not your
Yeah,
thing,
yeah, yeah.
Block,
New Kids on the Block.
Boys.
Close enough. Same damn difference, different decade. But remember the MC Hammer cartoon?
Yes. Where yes,
he,
I do.
He had his magic shoes, and they all each had their own personality and ran around and did stupid
Police
shit
Academy
on their
had
own.
A cartoon.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Cops. Had a cartoon.
Oh, well, that wasn't based on, like, the Fox show. It was its own thing. It was, like, Cops, and it was an acronym, but they were all, like, you know.
I thought, like, it had the same font, though. It didn't have the similar.
No, not at all.
Oh, for some reason, I thought it had the same font.
No, not at all. It was, like, a you know, kids sci-fi kind of thing with, like, cops with cool gadgets, or some of them were cyborgs and all that. And I actually liked that show. I'd still watch it if I had the DVDs for it. Unfortunately, I don't.
Well, so Swamp Thing, like we said, it's just kind of a movie that's just there. If you would love this movie when you were young, I'd stick with that memory and not going back and watching this movie. A fan of the show, Dennis Burns, said, I haven't seen this in a long time, but I remember loving it. And I would suggest to him, stay, remember loving it, don't revisit it. I think if you revisit it, you won't like it as much. One thing that I got out of this movie was that I really think a remake would do well nowadays.
Yeah.
I think if they did the... even if they did the Swamp Thing, Incredible Hulk style, like from the Avengers, I think it would be pretty cool. Because from what I remember in the cartoon, he could do like all kinds of stuff, like stretch his arm out really far to do different things and turn into different stuff and control different stuff. So if they had him CG'd like how they do the Hulk, and if it was that well done, I think it would be probably a pretty awesome movie.
Well, another thing is, I haven't ever read the comics, but I know Alan Moore.
I've read all the Alan Moore comics, and they're really good.
So, yeah, I'm sure if they were to do a movie like that, and like do it well, do it justice like they've done with a lot of comic book movies today, and like go base it off of some of his stories, I think it could be really good. Unlike this movie.
Unlike this movie. I don't know when Alan Moore started writing Swamp Thing, so I don't know if this
He didn't create the character, did he?
No, he didn't create the character. He just...
redefined it.
Redefined the character, basically, yeah, and gave it a whole new life in the comics. So in the beginning of this movie, you get a little background of what's going on here. It says, not long ago, in the unexplored reaches of an unmapped swamp, the creative genius of one man collided with another's evil dream, and a monster was born. Too powerful to be destroyed, too intelligent to be captured, this being still pursues its savage dream.
Savage dream.
I don't really think he had a savage dream. I think one
of the conditions of being a savage with it, you wouldn't have dreams. You just, you know, kill and fucking eat, and that's about it.
Well, I don't really understand this, because he doesn't really have a savage dream.
No, he definitely does not.
He's a good guy. The other creature... towards the end of this movie, I guess you would have a savage dream, but the Swamp Thing himself, which they never call him Swamp Thing, is just one of those things. That's a lot of movies are like that, though, where they never really call it that, but that's the title of the movie, and that's...
Like Mac and Me.
Yeah, there you go.
The mysterious alien creature.
So, it starts off very confusing, because I didn't really know what was going... You don't really know what's going on with these mercenary, paramilitary-type people that are in the swamp, and they attack that guy with a snake.
Yeah.
And they don't go back to it for a long time.
Yeah, no, and then it just seemed like the weirdest damn thing to me. If these are commandos, right, they should have all kinds of black ops gear. Why don't they just slit his throat so you can make sure he doesn't make a big loud scream like he does? No, instead, I've got a deadly snake in my pocket, which isn't affecting me at all, and I pull it out to have it bite the guy and have him slowly die a screaming death from poison.
Okay, so the guy that they did that they bit in the beginning, was that Arcane?
I don't know who he was, just he seemed like he was on the research team there.
I didn't think it was for some reason I thought maybe it was, but then I was like, wait, how could they turn him around so quickly to be a bad guy? Oh, the snake bites turned him instantly evil.
I think it was somebody
else. Maybe
it
seemed like Arcane had been missing for a long time.
But, well, maybe, I don't know, but... Either way, we're overlooking the incredibly silly part of this of just like, oh no, a deadly snake in my pocket. Like, is that a snake in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me, big boy? But really...
Just a snake.
It's almost like how we were talking about Scorpio on The Simpsons. Here, I've got sugar in my pocket, but here, I've got a deadly snake in my pocket. Ah!
Yeah, and I don't know, the movie starts off kind of slow... And you're introduced to Alice Cable, who's this government agent who's coming to see Dr. Alec Holland and his sister Linda Holland and their bioengineering project that
a is government going on. Agent named Alice.
Just like Resident Evil.
Well, you know where they rip their ideas off from.
So yeah, Linda and Alec Holland, who are brother and sister, though you're led to kind of believe for a little while that they're husband and wife.
Yeah, it was really... They should have done a better job on letting you know what was up with them.
They have a project to create a plant-animal hybrid capable of thriving in extreme environments. And obviously the government has their hands all over this one with different intentions that Alec and Linda both have going on.
Well, I like his explanation that he wants to create a plant that can aggressively defend itself and grow and thrive. Like, why do you want aggressive plants? Haven't you seen this a million times in cartoons and how bad they are? Like, just imagine, like the plant from Little Shop of Horrors, but, like, with legs. And, like, do you really want these monsters running around? Fuck no. So let's go to our secret G.I. Joe base in the swamp and make it happen anyway. They even had a couple anime shows about this. One was called Planet of the Beast King, where people, a couple kids, end up stranded on a planet with, you know, just filled with carnivorous plants, and they have to become like Tarzans, like, you know, fighting and killing to survive on this planet against all these evil plants. There was another movie called Origin Spirits of the Past, where somehow, like, the plants develop the ability to move, and they're trying to wipe humans out because of, oh, you cause global warming and shit, so now the plants are out to kill you.
There was that crap movie, M. Night Shyamalan, that The Happening.
Oh, right!
That was with the plants making people...
What a twist!
Oh! That guy, his new movie, Will Smith is in his new movie, and Will Smith's kid. Yeah, I wonder what the big twist will be in that one.
Guess what, Will? Jaden's not really yours! No, really.
Yeah, like we were saying, this movie is kind of just there. Some bad things, some decent things. One of the worst things about this movie, I think, was the woman who played Linda Holland. She was really bad. Her delivery on anything, whether it was important to the story or not, it was just absolutely horrible. I was kind of glad when she got shot and died. But though, on the other hand, Alec Holland, played by Ray Weiss, I absolutely loved. I thought that was the best part of the movie. I was actually disappointed when he became Swamp Thing, because I think Ray Weiss is a highly underrated actor.
Yeah, he was good at playing the whole, you know, driven scientist with the super deep voice and all, this must happen. And
He most recently, people might recognize him from the show Reaper. He played the devil on Reaper.
Huh.
And he did a great job on there. He was also in RoboCop and a bunch of movies in the 80s.
Oh, wow.
RoboCop. Yeah, he was one of the bad guys in RoboCop. So, I always think he's a great actor, and I think he's highly underrated as an actor as well. And he only had a short time in this movie before he got lit on fire and turned into Swamp Thing.
Well, as mad as he was about seeing his sister shot dead and seeing the other woman, whose name I forget, you know, getting pistol-whipped and possibly dead laying there, if somebody were to light me on fire, I wouldn't do the random running around until I could have some ridiculous jumper crash off of something. I'd be running around setting everybody else on fire I could to take those fuckers with me. Seriously. But no, I just gotta get lit on fire and just run and flail my arms and make a big show about how on fire I am until I can play the Wilhelm scream while I jump into the water or off a cliff or something.
The Wilhelm scream was at least used 4 times in this movie. There were at least 4 different times I heard the Wilhelm scream. So, okay, one weird thing in the beginning, because there's not a whole lot to talk about in this movie, but...
No, there isn't.
They go out to find that, like, sensor in the swamp at one point, and, okay, they go to find that sensor. Okay, it's just like this stick with a big ball on the end of it. They find out that for whatever reason, it's unexplained, it's broken. It's been, like, tampered with or something, and it's all busted up on the inside. But the outside's perfectly fine, so I really don't understand how the inside got so messed up, because there's no explanation. But instead of them taking it with them, and they're supposed to be these environmentalist people, they go, oh, it's broken, throw the thing down into the swamp water,
and
take off. They just left it there.
Well, they mentioned when they got back, oh, did you know one of the sensors is broken? Oh, yeah, so-and-so was working on it, then he got bitten by an alligator, and we had to take him to the hospital. So I guess it's conceivable that it was torn apart because he was in the middle of repairing it.
Yeah, somebody... but why do they just leave it there? Why do they... Yeah. It's littering. That's just... Okay,
we're
just
going to leave this... What they did was stupid, but...
Well, let's just leave this giant metal pole in here. Oh, whatever.
Well, you know, we're only yuppie green freaks when, you know, we feel like it.
And essentially what they make in their lab is like a new nuclear type of dynamite thing, but when it hits the ground, it explodes, yet starts growing plants.
well, the plant growing doesn't kick in right away. You know, they have to look away and then look back. You resurrected the floorboards to a certain extent.
I was wow. Like, oh, they created plants. Woo!
Well, like, they hear it and they think it's gunfire at first, and the soldiers that are supposed to be protecting them run in. They're just like, look at this. I throw glowing green liquid on the floor and it explodes like Snappin' Pops, but louder. Just like, oh, congratulations, you've reinvented nitroglycerin. Well, if you have something that's exploding when you drop it, why do you keep dropping it? No, no, check it out, see? Isn't it cool? Like, what the fuck? Like, how big of a 10-year-old are you? Like, look, Mom.
Yeah, and then not long, I mean, there's little explanations here and there, and you get a little bit of a love connection going on between Alec Holland and Alice Cable.
Alice, there we go.
Yeah, Alice Cable. You get a little bit of a love connection between Alec and Alice.
That's a confusing couple. Alec and Alice forever.
So they got that going on a little bit, and then all of a sudden Alice discovers, for whatever reason, there's video footage of this one guy dying, the Charlie guy, who they thought was alive the whole time, but really it was this arcane guy walking around in a mask, because they go, oh, Charlie's been dead for however long, so why do they keep the video? Just for this one instance where she would walk in the room and discover it?
Apparently.
Oh, turn it out, we finally get to use the video!
Well, you know, it was 1982, and you had to show off what crappy technology you had.
Put it in like the beta! Put it in the beta!
$50,000!
Yeah. Put it in the beta! Put it in! Put it in!
Yeah, you like that? I also got porn on my Betamax player. What up?
Or he's going to put it in, he's like, oh, is this beta or VHS?
Beta, of course. Product placement. Beta's the best ever. Oh, you're so right. That would be amazing. It's like if they had a movie that was pushing HD DVD really hard. Oh, yes, the format of the future. High definition DVD.
Honestly, I'm surprised it didn't catch on over Blu-ray. You would think the way people are, like, HDTV, HD DVD. This makes sense, but instead Blu-ray was the one that won. It's kind of weird.
Well, I'm not going to pretend to have, like, done the homework on this, but I know the guy that runs the main anime news site that I go to called Fandom Post now. He was really into it, and from what I remember him saying, I think he said, like, Blu-ray had better storage capacity or something like that.
That was one big thing, because PlayStation, they went and all their games are made on PlayStation on Blu-rays, so it allows for a lot, like, certain games that possibly on, like, an Xbox 360 at the time would have needed, like, two discs still, but PlayStation could do it, like, this way with one disc because of the Blu-ray capacity. So, yeah, I remember it being a bigger thing, and, you know, it won, and I benefited from the HD DVD fallout because there were a lot of HD DVD, like, combo things where it's the same disc, but one side is HD DVD, the other side is DVD. So, at the grocery store, they had a bunch of those in a bin for $3 when it went under. So, I ended up picking up a bunch of movies for, like, $3 just because the whatever companies were just trying to get rid of all their HD DVDs. So, it looks like what I have is Blu-rays, but really, I have, like, 4 or 5 HD DVDs just because they're actual DVDs as well.
Oh, I remember Paramount backed the wrong horse on that one. They started putting out some kind of remastered with like CG footage of the ships instead of the original Star Trek series, and they're like, Star Trek Season 1 remastered or redone or whatever, re-fucking something, but only on HD DVD. I can just imagine, like, all the hardcore fans that jumped on that and got fucked pretty hard. And, well, now that Blu-ray's in charge, only on Blu-ray.
Microsoft jumped on that bandwagon too. They did it Sega CD style, where you had to buy a separate thing to hook up to your Xbox 360, and it would play HD DVDs.
Oh boy, oh format wars.
Well, so like the mercenaries or whatever you call them, paramilitary type of people, they come and take over the whole lab where Alec and Linda and Alice are, and they end up killing Linda. They end up flicking all the green, light green stuff all over Alec, and he gets lit on fire from it.
Well, I thought they knocked it out of his hand, and it looked more like it landed on the floor than on him, but I guess the movie explanation was it was on him anyway.
I thought somebody poured it on him as well.
Oh, okay.
Well. As well as that happening, too. So he gets caught on fire, which is a very impressive stunt.
Yeah.
By whoever did the stunt was very, very well done. I mean, the guy's on fire for a long period of time.
Yeah, just like full body too.
Yeah, full body runs in and out of this house and jumps into this the swamp, and then more explosions are just happening as he went into the swamp.
Yeah, from under the water. And then, like, they look and they watch it happen, and they're just like, oh, okay, like, well, everybody's dead now. And so you hear A.D. Arden, shit, where is it now? Oh, help so-and-so with the bodies. He's doing it all by himself. Like, it sounds like so mundane, like something you'd hear at work. Help so-and-so with the dairy load. You know, he's doing it all by himself. But, like, help so-and-so get rid of the bodies. He's doing it all by himself.
And then, because this is when it's revealed that this Dr. Anton Arcane, who was previously working on this project with Alec Holland, is still alive, and he's been wearing a mask for however long and whatever. But before the explosion happens and before they're bringing up the bodies, when they have Alice captured, he judo chops her and knocks her out.
Mm-hmm.
It was total, like, that's all I could think of was judo chop! Because she's, like, bitching, and he just turns over and does a karate chop to her neck, and she goes down.
Yeah. But then again, if I knew that all I needed were a prince, I probably wouldn't put up with her either. Kind of like in Spaceballs, you know, like, oh, you can still kill the guy and then just put his hand on the machine and still get in.
And I really don't understand how Alice survived the fire.
Yeah, yeah, she was not, well, she did kind of wake up when the thing was going on, or he was on fire, and she grabbed the last notebook of his, or somebody dropped it next to her, and she just, like, sort of went, like, you yeah. know, went and, like, slyly tucked it underneath her and laid back down like she was passed out. But I guess everybody must have followed Alec out while he was on fire to, like, marvel at the spectacle.
And she then snuck out the back yeah. door or something.
And, like, you know, if it were me, like, you're taking over this place, and all you needed were her fingerprints. Why didn't they just kill her anyway? And, like, you know, well, we've killed so many people, you know, we just forgot we left the one laying there. So, and, like, where would she even go? Because they're on, like, a very small little patch of land in the middle of this swamp where this building was, and it all burns down. So how was she able to stay hiding behind it from night all the way into day, like,
even
well
when it
into
burned
the
down
day?
To the ground, too.
Yeah.
Like, you could see through it and everything. You know, mm-hmm. It wasn't even barely there anymore.
But I'm crouched behind a couple of charred planks and nobody can see me.
And then when they do discover her, the way they go to drown her is, at first, just throwing...
Why are they even drowning her? These are Black Ops cold-blooded killers who are shooting people left and right. Why don't they just put a couple in her head and leave it at that? No, she's a chick, so we gotta be creepy and fuck with her. I gotta drown her and get, like, a weird rape fantasy kind of thing going on.
And it really was. The thing is, though, at first, the way they go to drown her is by just throwing her into waist-deep water.
And then, the like, then they get mad that, like, oh, she's trying to swim away. Fuck. Guess I gotta, you know, grab her hair and hold her under.
And then he says to her, say hello to your boyfriend, baby.
Yeah.
The one main, he was the main bad guy for a while, aside from Anton Arcane, was Ferret. That was his name.
Ferret.
he had the bandana around his head.
What a badass call sign.
Oh, yeah. The Ferret. And this is when we see Swamp Thing, which is actually kind of a nice thing. Sometimes movies like this, they take a while for the main thing to be shown. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, I expected, you know, we weren't going to see the Swamp Thing for a while after this happened, you know? Oh, he's dead. He lit on fire.
Well, considering everybody else was dead but her, I didn't think they could hold out on that too
yeah,
long.
Yeah, that's very true. So then this is when we're first introduced to Swamp Thing. And he pops out of the water, he saves her, even though she stops breathing because there's no more air bubbles or anything.
Yeah.
She completely stops breathing underwater and stops moving, and he saves her.
He has time to flip the boat over and smack a couple people around and then carry her out, you know, in his arms. Like, but, you know, she's all right because he has, like, Swamp Thing healing powers, too, somehow. Maybe that was what did it, but...
Yeah, and then they're shooting at him as he's carrying her, and he's carrying her all out in the open, and the bullets, wouldn't they be hitting her body... As he's, like, carrying her?
I don't know. If he's strong enough to get hit by a car and not flinch, I could see the bullets not being able to go through his body. Or just, like, getting lodged.
Oh, I meant when she's just kind of in the open, facing all the gunfire.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
And then, one part I did kind of laugh at was when all the mercenaries and stuff are are killing or trying to kill Swamp Thing. The one guy ends up shooting his own guy.
Yeah.
He's hiding in the weeds.
And then they're just like, oh, well, that happened. Like, there wasn't even any kind of, like, I know in that business you'd expect, you know, comrades to die and all that, and that would even be a thing, but you'd think that would be something people would, you know, be more mad about, but just like, oh, frick. Well, I guess it's just the three of us now.
So, yeah, and then the Swamp Thing, he comes and he saves her, and then he kind of goes away, and she escapes, and she finds a gas station out in the middle of nowhere, and tries to use the payphone. It's broken, and all of, there's just this little black kid sitting on a chair who...
Oh, he looks like he's in his early teens or something, but he's got these... He's sucking on a bottle of Coke, product placement, and he's got these big, thick Coke bottle glasses, double product placement.
He's a really weird individual.
He's got a really weird, like, almost lisp kind of thing, and, like, as soon as he sees her, he goes, like, in the weirdest way possible, and I can't properly mimic his voice, but it's like, uh-huh, here comes trouble.
Yeah, I didn't know if he was special or if he was supposed to be, like... just kind of slow, or if that's just how he was, or sometimes it felt like he was just really nervous to be on screen. Like, oh, he was, you know, first, only movie this kid's ever done, so he was kind of just, it felt like he was nervous.
So he sees her looking kind of tattered and dirty, and the first thing he asks her is, you in a plane crash?
Yeah, he goes, he asked her if you were...
Don't you think you'd have heard a plane crash?
That's what I literally wrote down. I go, did he hear a fucking plane crash nearby? No. So why the fuck would he even ask her if she's been in a plane crash? She didn't even really look like she'd been in a plane crash of any sorts. She was just a little beat up. Nothing, like, too severe. And and the kid ends up showing, like, certain, like, ways where he's, like, super strong and things like that. For whatever reason. Like, he punches the machine and the thing comes out.
Oh, yeah, she's trying to get a bottle of Coke out of the machine and it doesn't work. And then she starts kicking. He's like, oh, kicking it ain't gonna do you no good. You gotta punch it. And then he just, like, bam! And the glass bottle falls out without breaking. Like, really? You're dropping glass bottles out of a vending machine? That's gotta work every time.
Yeah. And it's really unexplained why this kid's even there. Does he own this place? You know what I mean? It's in the middle of nowhere. I guess some little, like, teenager could own his own gas station in the unexplored...
Not if you're that young, though. Not if you're under 18, hey, and he looks like he is.
Dan, this is the unexplored...
Oh my god, you're right.
Of the United
States. The grid, all the rules are out the window. You can start fucking people at age 8. That's the age of consent.
It's basically in international waters.
All right.
Anything can happen out there.
You know what? They mentioned, oh, this used to, at the beginning where they built their base that got blown up and burned down, they're like, this used to be a church before the levees broke. Maybe this is like a futuristic movie portraying, you know, like the...
Yeah, there was
the forthcoming of Katrina.
Yeah, there you go. The Swamp Thing will appear. And then
it's the lost city of New Orleans.
And then she calls her boss, who is part of the government, which just so happens to be in cahoots with Dr. Arcane, of course. Because why would the government be doing anything good? So they go to get her from the gas station. They go to hide, and she's like, you don't happen to have a gun, do you? And he goes, of course we have a gun.
What kind of place do you think this is? Of course we have a gun.
And yeah, the kid was kind of the comic relief of the movie. He didn't provide much comedy, but little spots here and there. I did like when, though, she tried to cause a distraction so the kid wouldn't get caught. And she runs out of the building with this, like, old-ass gun. And as she's running, she trips and falls.
Yeah, she decides to make noise to draw their attention before she can dive behind a really good stack of tires that would have provided her excellent cover.
Yeah.
Like, run, make the dive, and then do the distraction. You had time, but no.
She tripped and fell. Well, I think it was... I think that was an accident, though, when she tripped and fell.
I think it was an accident that you decided to start talking when you were yawning. Burn!
I didn't know I was going to yawn when I started talking. Okay, Dan. Okay. Jeez.
But even better, she was complaining about what an antique this gun is. So she goes to take her first shot, and the thing just, like, explodes in her hands. And, like, well, there goes that.
Yeah, and then once again we see Swamp Thing appear, and she's being chased down way far away from the gas station. Swamp Thing appears, stops a moving car, rips the lid off of it, it goes flying, starts ripping people out of it. I mean, this movie could be... This is where I kept thinking, like, oh, this movie could be done... You know, this could be really well done nowadays. I think if time was put into something like this, I think it could be a really awesome movie.
Yeah, but what I don't like is these people are obviously bad. They're obviously murderers. So all Swamp Thing does for most of the movie is throw people around. Like, he's not trying to neutralize these evil targets.
Ooh, one guy, he squishes his head.
Yeah, but that's not till later. Like, right now, oh, second round, these guys still want this poor girl dead. I want to protect her. Well, I'll just throw them around some more.
And at first, I thought maybe the costume was all right and it could have been a lot worse. But as the movie went on, I realized how bad the costume actually was.
The more you see of it, the more you get to take it all in, and you're just like, oh. That was another thing that I thought.
There were better Godzilla costumes.
I feel like they should have, like, teased him more and slowly revealed, like, what he looked like.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I thought that was going to happen. They went all
for it. But considering most of the stuff they're showing is during the day, it's kind of hard to, like, have him in shadows.
Yeah.
Like, it probably would have played better if it were at night, but then that would have been really hard to shoot and light properly.
Yeah, and the swamps.
Make sure you can see what's going on.
Especially on a low-budget film like this. But at the time, there were better makeup effects going on, and I think the costume, if it put a little bit more money into the costume than something else, I think they could have done a little bit better job. Because at times, you could just clearly tell, oh, he's wearing rubber gloves, and it's like a big rubber suit, like a big, like a full-on weight, like waders to, like, go in the swamps with.
Yeah.
It's clearly like, oh, they just made it out of this, like, wading rubber so he can just be wet all the time and going through the swamps. And sometimes the eye holes were a little too big in certain times he's wearing the mask, and you can clearly see his, like, skin, the guy's skin under the mask. I mean, this is a B-movie and it is low budget, but, I mean, we've seen low budget movies like this where they do a way better job doing the makeup effects. Usually these kind of movies pride themselves in that area, and the rest of it's crap. So, I don't know. Was Adrienne Barbeau coming off of the heels of The Fog? I think she was in that before this, and that was kind of a big movie.
I haven't seen The Fog, actually.
John Carpenter, The Fog.
I know what it is, just haven't seen it.
She was in that, so I thought maybe she was coming off the heels of that.
Maybe.
So, I don't really know. The kid, and then the kid finds her in the middle of the swamp.
Well, before that, you know, she isn't quite... Sure, because I guess she was kind of out of it when she got rescued the first time. But she thinks Swamp Thing's after her. So what does she do after he, you know, throws the guys around again? She decides to slowly back off the road, like, into the water, like, getting almost waist deep. And he's still coming towards her and, like, offering his hand to her. And she's just like, and just, like, waving her hand at him, like, shoo, 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 Swamp Thing, shoo. Like, that's going to work.
and then, like I was saying, the kid, how did he find her? She ran so far away from the gas station.
Well, all those precocious little movie kids, they just know what to do to keep throwing themselves right back
into
the action.
Multiple times in the movie, he just happens to show up. Like,
oh, yeah.
Who knows how? Because they go all
over. Who knows how Swamp Thing keeps tracking her, because she obviously goes way out of his way.
Well, he can go in the swamps.
I know, but he ends up being so far away from her, and then just instantly, the second she's in danger, he's right there.
Because he can see through the trees.
Okay.
Connect to them. It's like a tele. You can see where she's at through the trees.
Okay. Okay, Corey.
Dude, Swampy, man.
I see through the trees. I'm on so much acid right now.
Is it like Christian Bale playing Swamp Thing?
I see through the trees. Yeah. Where are the other drugs going? Where did this black kid come from? Where did he come from?
I one scene I also found humorous was when Swamp Thing goes back to his science lab, and he just starts crushing things. It was just like
he starts pouring. There's like somehow some beakers intact, and starts pouring things together, and they explode again. He's just like raw,
and he gets so frustrated because it crushes in his hands. He's too strong.
Yeah,
he crushes the beakers, and he's just like, I just want to do science. Yeah. Why can't I do science?
You know you're a geek when.
When you turn into an incredibly strong swamp monster and still want to keep practicing science.
Can't wait to go beast it at the local fucking Bunsen burner depot.
Well, yeah, and not only can Swamp Thing take out cars, he can also take out boats.
Oh, yeah.
And drive boats as well, because in the one scene, he ends up driving yep. He takes out all the guys in the boat, and then starts driving the one boat towards another one. The thing is, the boats, they don't ever crash head-on or crash
like, right, no, the one, like, went over it. It was kind of just, like...
up on top of it, yeah. And then they explode.
Boat can't hold another boat. Boom! And I like the one guy who's standing on, like, a tiny little bank there, and he sees Swamp Thing coming. He has a grenade, but he throws it like a little pussy, and it barely makes it, you know, like... 5 feet away from him, lands in the water and explodes. Like, really? Nice grenade throw, Darg.
Yeah. And then, I like when Swamp Thing and Jude, that was the kid, the little black kid's name, his name was
hey,
Jude. Yeah. And many times I was like, where's Jude? Because he's in the movie for a while, and for like... The last 45 minutes, he's nowhere to be seen till the very end.
Yeah.
So, and then he goes, when he sees Swamp Thing, he goes, oh shit, here goes the neighborhood.
Well, actually, somehow they led you to believe he was killed by the commando guys, but they don't show you how. Swamp Thing just lifts him out of a boat, and you see his face is all bloody. Like, did he get shot? Did they just beat him in the head?
Yeah, I was wondering why he was all bloody. I was like, why is he all bloody?
So then Swamp Thing takes him in his arms, cradles him, and some magic green glowing goes on, and he apparently either heals him or resurrects him. It would have been nice to know which it was so you could know how incredibly powerful he is.
Yeah.
Can he just heal, or can he bring back the dead?
Yeah.
Considering that potion they threw on dead floorboards brought it back to life, you'd think he could bring back the dead. That's pretty amazing. We should highlight this more, but they don't. They leave it ambiguous. And then, like you said, he goes...
He's not mysterious alien creatures, okay? He can't just kill kids in wheelchairs and bring them back to life and become U.S. citizens.
So, like you said, as soon as he resurrects this kid, he goes, oh shit, there goes the neighborhood, and then he just, like, blinks and looks at him, like, says something to him, and just like, oh, here, this notebook thing that I'm supposed to make sure doesn't fall into the wrong hands without even having a conversation with him, here you go. And now I'll disappear for most of the rest of the movie.
Basically. Yeah, and then, What's-Her-Face escapes again.
Oh, he ends up getting his arm cut off by Ferret, I think, and then he grabs his head and just, like, crushes the top of it until he's bleeding and dies.
Well, yeah, that's when she is captured again. Then she escapes again off the boat. Like, these mercenaries are the worst. She's escaped three different times so far, and she's not that hard to keep control of. So she escapes, like, three different times. Apparently, another thing, there was no nudity in this movie, but apparently...
Except for when she gets in the swamp, because God knows, if you want to get clean, you want to get in stinky-ass swamp water, take off all your clothes and rub it all over yourself. You get to see side boob with the barest hint of a nipple, and they cut, like, to, like, full frontal, but they won't ever show her boobs get out of the water, and that's it.
I guess in August of 2000, MGM released the film on DVD in the United States. MGM inadvertently used the 93-minute international version that contained more nudity than the PG-rated 91-minute version. Theatrical cut for the U.S. version of the DVD. So in May of 2002, a Dallas woman rented the disc from a Blockbuster video store for her children and reported the discrepancy.
Oh no.
Then the movie was rated PG and then it had all kinds of nudity in it.
I really doubt it was all kinds. It was probably just a decent shot of her tits.
It was her. It was just her in the swamp.
Because where else would there be nudity in this movie?
Yeah.
Unless they just had, like, a bouncing nympho chick come through. Boobs, boobs, boobs and bush, look, boobs.
It was like Death Sport. It was like the striptease scene in Death Sport.
Oh, my God.
It just had one of those. Or arcade... slipped into some girl's drinks, and when she freaked out, she ripped off all her clothes.
I could see that.
Ah! The formula! Ah! Ah! Boobies! Ah! So, yeah, well, then MGM recalled the disc and reissued it in August of 2005
with
the proper U.S. theatrical cut.
Bullshit.
So, from 2000 to 2005, you could have got a 93-minute version of this movie that had Adrian Barbeau boobs in it.
No.
Barbeau boobs.
I never wanted to buy this movie, but now I want to, just so I could have something that MGM doesn't want me to have. And some stupid bitch went and pissed and moaned about to Blockbuster. And I don't know if that was a start of that, or if they were doing it already, where they were having, like, edited versions of movies to keep, like, everything PG, basically, but... Well, I'm glad they're not around anymore.
That was really the day that Blockbuster started going under. Like, from then on, it was just downhill. I can
see
it.
See, this is what happens. Downhill. This is what happens, you fucking yups. You cut out the titties, you cut out the money. Titties equals money. You want to make money? Get more titties. Put titties all over fucking everything. Titties, titties, titties everywhere. Titties will pull us out of the recession. We don't need another world war. We need titties.
It's very true. They need to just come back with Blockbuster titties.
There we go. Or just Titty Buster video. There you go.
Titty Buster video. Oh, they only carry movies that have nudity in them. There has to be some form of female nudity in the movie for them to carry it. Otherwise, no.
Well, I guess we're going to be seeing a lot more George Lucas-style special edition re-releases in our future.
The front doors are like that curtain they have for like the adult section. Yeah. That's the front door.
Gremlins 2, the new boobs. Ever wanted to see the female gremlin naked? Now's your chance.
Or first boobs. First boobs part 2.
Yes. See the story of Rambo losing his virginity twice, apparently.
Rambo, First Boobs, Part 2.
He must be some stud if he needed two movies to give his first time.
One is him coming in like about 3 minutes, and the next one is him just being depressed about how he came so quickly.
I'm sorry, I swear this never happens. I'm still young, I'm still fit, this shouldn't happen to me. God damn it.
I'm gonna go to Vietnam now.
No wonder he's so angry and had such a kill count. Wow.
So when she, right before she gets captured for like the 20th time in this movie, she finally realizes that Swamp Thing is Dr. Holland. They have this like weird little moment, and he starts talking. This is like the first time he talks. At one point, he says something right before he crushes that guy's head, and I had no clue what the fuck he said.
Yeah, I don't remember.
He was
either.
Like, blah, blah. I was just like, what the fuck?
Because later he was kind of like old style Frankenstein, just like stringing a few words together. But then he starts.
By the end,
like,
he is like compiling full sentences.
Yeah, he's like Beast from X-Men or something. Yeah. But so he gets this important notebook from Jude. And then when she's done with her disgusting swamp water bath, she decides to get out. And what does he decide to do? Get rid of the notebook. But what does he just do? Throw it on the dirt road, on one of these dirt roads that these commandos are going over all the time. If you want to destroy this thing, keep it out of people's hands, why don't you at least tear it up, or better yet, burn it? Nope, I'll just throw it on the ground and hope nobody finds it, which they immediately do. And take it back to the bed,
yeah. And they start making their own, and then he, at this, like, some sort of family dinner situation.
Yeah, he has a big, like, formal dress-up dinner for all his remaining goons and, like, all these, I guess they're just, like, rich villain types gathered in his mansion, and he's got Alice sitting there tied up in a chair. Like, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you have her, like, in a room somewhere? But, come on, we're all bad guys here. I might as well just display my work, because, you
and
know,
they have
what we all do.
Swamp Thing captured in the basement as well.
Yeah, they're keeping him in the basement. Why don't they have him tied up at the table, too?
Thing is,
hey, buddy, want some greens? Lop off his other arm. Tear it up, turn it into salad.
They have electricity everywhere in this house, but when you go down in the dungeon, it has to be lit by torches.
Yeah.
There was a guy holding a torch.
See, that's supervillain swag right there, Corey. I have electricity, but I'm not going to use it because I keep it fucking real.
I got torches. YOLO. So then he tests the stuff on his one goon since the ferret that has died. He's, I guess this guy Bruno.
Yeah, Bruno.
Is like the next in line. So he gets it tested on him and he starts freaking out. The poor guy didn't even know that he was going to
be. Yeah, he has him sitting at the head of the table. Granted, these guys fucked up a lot, but they delivered and they captured the people they were supposed to and the notebook eventually. So how does he reward him? Oh, I slipped some shit into your food, but I saw it coming. I was like, oh, is he going to do this to everybody? They're like, no, it's just you, but like, if I were anybody else there, like, sure, we're all bad guys and all that. You're going to fuck with our food while we're here? I would have gotten together, raised an angry mob, and slayed him.
Yeah, if I was at the table, I would have pushed my food away like, you know what? I'll eat mine later.
And it's
I'll
like,
later. I'll give it to
I know
dog.
This takes effect pretty quickly, but this guy had barely only eaten a little bit from what I'd seen, and it was almost just like, as soon as I finish explaining it to you, that's the trigger for the change to start. And he just starts shaking.
Yeah, his reaction is so insane. At certain times, he's like screaming. He's like,
So then he does the classic just drop underneath the table and then pop back up as a midget werewolf.
Werewolf midget thing. I was like, and midget then, wolf creature.
And he just starts like bounding up and down on top of the table and running back and forth, and everybody's just like, oh, not a midget! Ah!
So he's just like, midget thing, and they throw him down in the dungeon too. Like,
you were an unsuccessful transformation, or you weren't what I wanted, so we'll throw you in the dungeon too, even though you actually did serve me fairly well.
Yeah, so then this is when we find out, what he's like, why didn't it work on Bruno? Why isn't he strong? Why is he a little wolf midget man? And you come to find out that the potion only amplifies your essence, what you're meant to do, or what.
How the hell does Swamp Thing know this? Yes. If this is a scientifically created gene DNA altering thing,
it, so maybe that's how he knows.
Yeah, but how?
I don't know.
How can it alter your quote unquote essence, like this? This abstract thing that isn't like in the real world. Like, no, this isn't a scientific concoction. It's a magic potion. It makes you. It's like the Eye of Odin from Gargoyles. It makes you a better version of yourself, but evil. So Goliath turns into a giant Viking gargoyle warrior, and Fox turned into a ravenous werewolf. Like, no, this turns you into what you are.
So, yeah. And then they say that, okay, I have another question.
Oh, another one. There is a shaft of sunlight, even though it seemed like it should be night again because of this big dinner. There's this nice big shaft of sunlight coming down into the dungeon. And then Alice goes, you know, like, you thrive on the light. Lift up your arm. Yeah, how does she know that?
How does she know that? How?
And then, what does he do? Even though
he'd
been missing his arm for a long time and out in broad daylight and nothing happened, but now he lifts his arm up into a shaft of sunlight and his other arm almost instantly regenerates.
Yeah, I have no clue how she knew that. But while all this is going down in the basement, upstairs Arcane is like talking about all this other bullshit, you know. At one point he's drinking, and then he gives this glass to some girl. Who was that girl? Who was half the
When you're a
supervillain,
you have a stable of hoes, remember? He had the one girl he was talking to giving that bullshit speech about genius at the beginning of the movie. If I were a supervillain, I'd have a house full of hoes.
There
it makes sense. But he decides to drink this potion and just, you know, without any further testing, did you think that, maybe this might not have a good effect on you? He just decides to, like, drink half a fucking goblet of this glowing green potion and sit out on his veranda and then ask a girl to bring him some brandy, and as soon as she steps out, she sees him starting to change and freaks out. He's just like, here, take my empty pimp chalice and go, so I can sit here and freak out and begin my shitty transformation.
Yeah, and then he transforms into basically Beast Man from Masters of the
Universe. I like his slow, horrible transformation, because I thought it was just going to be something terrible that killed him, because at first it just like completely covers his face so that he doesn't even really have a face.
Yeah,
and to me it looked like really like dirty, shitty tree bark. I'm like, is that it? He's just going to be Tree Bark Man.
Well, yeah, I wrote down, is Arcane just turning into a giant turd?
Yeah.
Because he almost
I could see that too.
Yeah.
But it turned out it was just a turd cocoon.
Yeah.
And the turd monster is what claws its way out.
Yeah, and then he has like this, he's like a pig beast man like thing.
Yeah. I can see werewolf, but yeah, he didn't exactly look as wolf-like as he should have, so at one point I was thinking
almost like a
warthog too,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, like a warthog or boar type of situation. Yeah, and at this point I forgot all about the midget Bruno.
And then, yeah,
he's like in the. He's
they have him
there.
Sitting in the cell, and they've been unguarded for a while. So only now, when he's like, "Oh, Arcane's taking the formula again. You're down in the dungeon. How the fuck do you know?" He's like, "Arcane's taking the formula. There's only one way out of here, but you have to trust me." And now Swamp Thing suddenly has rejuvenated strength too from sticking his arm in a shaft of sunlight for 30 seconds, and he's able to rip his chains off. And little Bruno goes, "Oh, there's an escape route here in case any of the guards ever got locked in." What the
hell is this real? You gotta trust me, though. Here, turn this thing on the wall that I can't reach. So then the secret passage opens up, and all right, well, we'll just scuttle down the staircase here. And
yeah, and then Arcane's running wildly through the house with a sword in hand.
Yeah. If you're going to be this savage killing machine, you think you just want to tear shit up with your own clawed hands, you know, that's what I do. No, I need a sword, because I'm not raging hard enough by myself.
So then the way they have to get out is through this, like, tunnel that goes through the water.
They go down into this tunnel, and, like, there's this big old open pool in the basement, and this doesn't make any sense at all. Oh, this is fed by a spring that's beneath the swamp, and if you just swim through this, it'll pop out in the swamp somehow. Like, really? Yeah. Okay.
And then Arcane comes, and Bruno trips
him. He's like, here, I'll keep him busy. You guys go swim away. Like, suddenly he's a good guy now. Okay.
Well, he got shafted. He did good. He did what he was supposed to. He gets shafted, gets turned into this wolf midget thing, and thrown in the dungeon.
Right.
Yeah, you're going to turn into this
point. I understand you want to turn on your guy, but you think it would still be all about you. Here, guys, I'll keep him busy so you could get out. I'd be like, fuck that, me first.
Yeah.
But instead, he decides to, like, dive into his feet and just, like, you know, knock him over rather comically and just, like, have a nice trip. See you in the fall. So he's just, yeah, like, stereotypical, you know, goofy midget guy running around and doing midget shenanigans.
Of Bruno.
Yeah, they don't tell you at all.
I assume he died because Arcane gets out, or since when he trips Arcane, he runs up the stairs, and so I thought maybe Arcane just went straight into the water and Bruno ran up the stairs. So maybe Bruno stayed alive in the mansion by himself. Maybe now he lives there. He runs that shit.
Maybe he took over all the hoes.
There we go. Little midget wolf man took over all the hoes.
Thanks for the closure here, Wes Craven.
Yeah. And like, yeah, this is also really weird that this is a Wes Craven movie, because it doesn't really fit his MO. It doesn't really fit his normal horror movie type of, like, it's not even a thriller, really. It's a science fiction comic book movie.
From the narration at the beginning, you know, they're making it seem like it's supposed to be horror, or at least have a good horror bent. And more than anything, it just seems like kind of a crappy action movie with a little bit of a weird sci-fi twist.
Yeah, really, really all it is. And at the end, I kind of enjoyed the monster swamp fight to an extent. It was kind of Godzilla-esque, but instead of a city, they're just two monsters fighting in a swamp. Alice gets stabbed at one point.
Yeah, in the heart, basically.
Yeah, so she dies. So he does bring somebody back to life. He brings her back to life.
Yeah.
I assume she
does. He does a very bad job of taking out Arcane. Like, it seemed like he just threw him down, like he didn't finish him, and I was just like, is that really it? Is he really supposed to be dead? So then he goes over to try to heal Alice, which he does, but rather than just touching her like he did with Jude, he tears off a piece of, like, swamp moss from himself, puts it over the wound, then puts his hand on her, and seems to heal her, and I was just like, oh, the swamp moss is still stuck to her. Like, is she gonna be stuck with this giant patch of swamp moss chest hair now? That would be awful.
It was just like, well, that was like him coming. He was just like, got my swamp moss on you. He mossed on her chest.
She is able to pull it off, fortunately, because I wouldn't want to have plants growing on me like that. But
yeah.
But then just in time for Arcane to wake up and come at him again.
Yeah, and then he ends up taking Arcane out with his own sword.
Well, that just goes to show you, like Master Splinter said, evil will sink under its own weight.
It's true. And then at the end, Swamp Thing just goes off into the swamp.
Well, I like that, you know, after they kill Arcane, you still have a house full of goons that are associated with him, and Alice just goes, it's over. How is it over? He has the final notebook. He was able to recreate your serum. That shit's still all in the house. Yeah. You think at the very least you go raid the place and destroy all the notes and what's left of the formula. But nope, it's over. Just leave it, so we could leave it wide open for a sequel.
I'd really like to see the sequel again. I haven't seen it in a long time. I don't know what it has to do with this one except for Swamp Thing being in it. You know, so I'm interested to see what that one is all about. It's an even lower budget than this one was. This one was made for $3 million. I really don't know what it made, though. I haven't been able to find this, not even on the wiki page. So
I don't know.
Yeah, and then he tells her to tell their story. He's like, tell our story.
Yeah, to who? Who's going to believe this? Or even if she does, you'd think other government goons would come down on her to kill her before it can even get out.
And then all of a sudden, Jude just shows back up. yeah. the very end.
Hey, I'm still alive in case anybody cared.
I was just like, how? How did he know how to get where they were? At this point, they're at this mansion. Who knows
now that,
where?
Now that he's been healed, maybe he's becoming a thing, too, and he can see through the trees.
There you go.
He's got those Coke bottle glasses. He'll be really focused.
Yeah, so Swamp Thing just goes off into the swamps, and the credits start rolling.
Yep, freeze frame, too. You don't even get to see him walk away all the way. Just freeze frame on him off in the distance.
Yep. Well, that's a nice little sad ending.
Anybody? Well, it's not that sad. It seemed like he wanted to be there.
It seemed kind of sad. Just him walking away.
Maybe you're thinking of Incredible Hulk.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of that, actually. And that same music playing.
Yeah, it definitely didn't have sad music, though. No, it was just sort of like end of movie music. If anybody's interested, this is filmed entirely on location in Charleston, South Carolina. Not off the grid, not off the map, not unexplored.
And in nearby John's Island, South Carolina. There you go. So the film was generally average to positive reviews from critics. Rotten Tomatoes gives the film a score of 60% based on 30 reviews. Of early Craven films, it was regarded as another of his finest. So, in 2009, Joel Silver announced plans to produce a reboot of the Swamp Thing movie franchise. The story is written by Akiva Goldsman. In 2010, Vincenzo Natali was confirmed to direct, but on May 12, 2010, Vincenzo Natali decided to delay Swamp Thing reboot to pursue other projects.
Mm.
So I really don't know what's been going on with it. Well, the guy who did the music for the Friday the 13th franchise did the music for this movie.
Harry Manfredini?
Yep. Yep. I saw the name on there. It said music by Harry Manfredini. I was like, oh, that's the guy from Thing. So there you go.
Who knows? Maybe La La Land will put out that score, too.
Of Swamp Thing?
They might.
Yeah,
they've done some really awful movies that I don't think deserved it at all. Like
the studio that put it out was Swamp Films.
Yeah, Swamp Films.
Was that created just for this one picture?
Sometimes that happens. Like, they do that in Japan a lot now with anime. It seems really weird. Like, for Evangelion, it was like Project Eva, which made sense because that show was so big and had so much put into it. But then, like, so many other shows just ended up doing the same thing. It just seems stupid to even call it, like, its own thing. Just like, you know. Like Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex. The final credit in the opening was produced by Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex Committee. Like, really? It's produced by the fuckers who made it is what you should put on there. There's so many shows doing that kind of thing now, but...
Well, so that was Swamp Thing. It's kind of just there. Kind of just was. We really didn't have a whole lot to say about the movie itself. You know, here and there, little pieces. It is what it is. It's not as good as the comics were, especially the Alan Moore books. You know, it spawned enough interest. I mean, maybe the comic spawned the animated series.
Maybe the comic spawned Spawn.
Yeah. So, I really don't know. I don't know. This movie kind of just there. So, like fan of the show Dennis, if he liked this in the past, I'd say just stick in the past. Just don't go back and rewatch it. You'll probably be disappointed because it's pretty boring at times and... It's not as great as it could be. I think if they redid it nowadays, if done right, it could be really, really, really awesome. So next week is a more outrageous movie for sure than this week's movie. I'm hoping.
Honoring our listener request.
Yes, honoring our listener request from on Twitter at MovieVigilante sent us the request to watch Jack Frost. It's a 1996 horror film. I can't wait. It's about a, let's see here. Movie takes place in fictional town of Snow Mountain.
Mountain?
Mountain.
Mountain?
Yeah, Snow Mountain.
Okay.
That's what it says. Where, on the week before Christmas, a truck carrying serial killer Jack Frost to his execution crashes into a genetics truck. The genetic material causes Jack's body to mutate and fuse together with snow on the ground. Jack is presumed dead, and his body melts away. However, he comes back as a killer snowman and takes revenge on the man who finally caught him, Sheriff Sam Tiller. So, the movie has an 8% rating... on Rotten Tomatoes.
All good.
But definitely has a pretty good cult following. And I'm pretty sure, because I remember, I always remember seeing this movie at Blockbuster and, like, video stores. I always remember seeing, you know, the cover of the skull-faced, you know, snowman looking thing. And on the back, there was always like a naked girl, but she wasn't fully naked, like side boob on the back of the VHS box. And I'm pretty sure that's Shannon Elizabeth. Huh. I'm pretty sure she's in this movie. Let's see. Yeah, it says she's in this movie.
Hmm.
I don't. It says she plays Jill Metzner. So I don't know. I don't know how big of a role she has, but maybe we'll get to see some Shannon Elizabeth boobies in this movie. I've never seen this one, but I've seen the sequel. Because me and some of my friends of mine had went to go rent this one, but the video store only carried the second one.
Oh, that's brilliant.
They didn't carry the first one, so they carried Jack Frost 2, Revenge of the Mutant Killer Snowman. Yeah, so... actually, this was the Shannon Elizabeth's first movie, it says.
Huh.
So, yes, next week, it is on Netflix, so you can watch it there. I'm sure you can watch it in full on YouTube as well. Or if you own it, I mean, it's a pretty somewhat popular, no cult movie now. Jack Frost from 1996, getting into the Christmas spirit. I think after that, we're probably going to tackle the He-Man She-Ra Christmas special.
Yay!
And, oh, it should be a joy. I almost thought about rehashing. I know me and Dan had watched together in the past the Pee-wee Christmas special.
Oh, yeah.
Because we had watched that before, too, and that one was a doozy. But I figured, you know, something new and something different, you know, that we're not too familiar with. So the He-Man She-Ra thing will definitely be a treat as well. That's in the coming weeks, along with some Baywatch Nights.
Yay.
As well.
One of the best worst TV shows ever. This show should not be canceled. It should be on the air with new episodes on Adult Swim. You could watch the second season of this and it would feel like you're watching an Adult Swim show, except they want to be totally serious about it.
Oh, yeah.
It just adds to the wonderful, wonderful humor of it all.
Oh, yeah.
Just lifeguard Mitch Buchanan on his off nights from lifeguarding. Goes and tackles the supernatural, the cases that Agents Mulder and Scully won't take because they're so god-awful.
So, next week, Jack Frost, check it out. I can't wait to watch it. The second one was absolutely insane. I can't imagine. The second one took place on an island, and like it was like Hawaii or something like that. He goes across the ocean to attack some of these people. We had no clue kind of what was going on because we had never seen the first one. So we were a little lost, but it was easy to catch up on. I remember there being little mini Jack Frosts in the second one. I don't know if that's in the first one, too. But there were little, like, little gremlin-esque version, like little baby Jack Frosts in the second one. On the island. So,
okay.
This would be a movie breakdown of 1982's Swamp Thing. So, for a movie breakdown, I'm Corey.
I'm DRC. And I don't have a clever tagline to close things out. Best of the worst.